here with us today.
Awesome. Heard you guys are, you're fresh off a mission trip, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So why don't we just reach out a hand right now? We're going to pray over him. And so Father God, we just thank you right now. We pray just fresh anointing on these words, power, revelation. Mm-hmm. And as he speaks, God, we just say our hearts, our ears, and our minds are open to what you have for us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey, y'all, look how big guy T is. Maya Florence, some of y'all might know, she's our administrator. She knew him in high school. And she said he was just a little skinny guy. She couldn't believe it when she saw him. So, good job, T, and the worship team. I'm glad to be here. I don't know everybody here, but I'm happy to be able to come and talk to you. It's a privilege to get to do this. I don't assume anything, and I'm not going to preach to you, and I'm not going to teach you today, okay? I'm just going to share a few things, and however that happens, however it comes out, that'll be it. But this guy right here is Jenny Stein's nephew, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm pointing him out because years ago he was in a terrible accident. You don't mind me saying this, do you?
No.
He was in a he got caught up in a wood chipper, and he came close to dying. And, you know, I remember praying for him. This is the first time I ever laid eyes on you, but we prayed for you a lot. And just thankful that the Lord saved your life and that you're sitting here today and you got baptized this week.
Yeah.
That's just awesome. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is good. So, you know, probably a lot of y'all know Dean and Jenny. And so it's really great to see that God does stuff, doesn't
he?
Sometimes we don't feel like he does, but. So I was thinking about a few things. I'll tell you a few stories, okay? I was remembering back in the 80s, I heard this doctor speak. He was like an orthopedic surgeon, and he told this story about there was a child, probably a 7 or 8 year old boy, who was in a farming accident, and his arm was severed right about right here completely. And, of course, he got the call that this accident happened and they were going to try to save his arm. And so he was going to be the man doing the surgery. And he said he went to his office and got his medical books out. And back in those days, they used real books, right? Today, they don't use real books, virtual books. But he was looking at the books, you know, just kind of studying up and getting ready to do the surgery. And, of course, he was a believer and really trusted the Lord and believed, you know, in the power of God to help him do. And he said he was sitting there looking and sitting in his office, and then he was quieting himself to pray to be able to save this boy's arm. And, man, it was just, he said he noticed his wall where all his degrees were. You know, a doctor like that would have lots of paperwork hanging on this wall, right? They need to be. Otherwise, I don't want them operating on me, right? I want to see your papers. But he was looking at that, and he heard the Holy Spirit speak to him. And the Holy Spirit said, all of that was for this, for this moment in your life. And, you know, the beautiful thing was he was able to save the boy's arm and had a picture of the boy hanging from monkey bars after he fully recovered. And, man, that thing just sunk into my heart, your video about being rooted, you know, the times where God prepares you for things. And lots of times it's unseen because, you know, you don't really understand that you're in preparation. And about 12 years after I saw that, this man who ministered in Cuba a lot asked me to go with him. And so I readily felt like the Lord wanted me to go to Cuba. And so I went, I was going to meet him in the airport in Miami. And I got to the airport in Miami and walked in, and he was literally sitting on the floor leaning against the wall. And he was pale as my shirt. And he was sweating. You know, it was terrible. And he said, I got the flu. I'm not going. If you feel like the Lord wants you to go ahead, but I'm going home. And that was it. He got up and left. Seriously. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, I was just like, you know, I feel like the Lord wanted me to go, so I'm going. You know, back then, you couldn't go to Cuba from the United States. You had to enter illegally. And that's what we did is we went to, I went to Jamaica and did some ministry in Jamaica, which was the craziest ministry in the world. If you ever go to do ministry, you know, a lot of people go to Jamaica because of the resource. Well, I went to the real Jamaica, and it's, woo, wow, it's something else. I went into one town, and the people I was with, they were all Jamaicans. They said, do not leave our side. And I said, why? He said, you'll know. I was the only white person in that town, literally, and it was a very violent town. I was glad I didn't leave their side. I hang on to one. But then we left, and that's how I got into Cuba, was through Jamaica. But I remember sitting on the airplane. I was flying a Cuban airplane, flying from Jamaica to Cuba, and this thought came to me, like, what am I doing? You know, for the first time in my life, I was in a situation where there was nobody on earth that could help me, because I wasn't supposed to be where I was at, obviously. I was doing something very illegal, and I was, you know, alone. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know the people I was going to meet, and, I mean, I just felt, like, completely by myself. You know, and like, God, if you're not with me right now, I'm completely, there's nobody can help me. I can disappear off the face of the earth and nobody will ever be able to find me. And I remember that moment, that story that doctor told. I knew then the Lord was speaking to me that he had brought me to that moment and that he, and over the past 12 years, he really prepared me to really step in into that moment. And just knowing that really helped me to really, that was like my first real missions trip I went on, and was really just fabulous getting to minister in Cuba, and you know, which at the time was in desperate straits. It's probably even more desperate now because of the situation. But I just feel that's something we all really need to know, that God is at work in our lives. And I know a lot of you in this room have gone through stuff in your life, if you follow the Lord any time at all, where you felt disappointed in the Lord and God didn't do what you thought he was supposed to do. There's even things that just seem to me just like an anomaly. It's like, oh, that's an anomaly because that does not line up with the character and nature of God that I see in the scriptures. Of course, we know that God is bigger and wiser than us, and you know, we have to come to a place in our life where we can live with not understanding everything God does. But I do know this, that God is just true to his word always. It's not always in our time. Yeah. And that God is faithful. We've seen that he's faithful beyond measure. Mm-hmm. He really is. And he is the best thought that we have about God is insufficient. He's better than we thought. And he's more wonderful than we thought. To me, God is better than ever now in my life. And I have a lot of disappointments in my life and a lot of things that have crushed me in my life. But somehow God has enabled me to really, he's held on to me when I couldn't hold on to him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And there's this time we don't feel like we can hold on to God, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. Because God's holding on to us. Yeah, and you'll see that he got you through, and he'll get you through to the other side. Yeah. He'll get you through into this amazing, amazing place. Well, sometimes God, we have these moments in our life that strip us down to nothing. You know, and usually those moments, it could be a circumstance, but the more circumstances are powerful, huh? But the more powerful is when we have this, where God speaks to us, we have some type of encounter with God where it just strips you to nothing. A few years ago, I was on an airplane going to China. I'd already been there a few times, so you know, I was kind of used to the airplane misery of going there because it's very a miserable flight. I mean, it's forever getting there. But I was thinking about a friend of mine that we had sort of a parting of the ways. You ever had that with somebody in your life? You had a parting of the ways. And I said to the Lord, oh, Lord, I really hate that me and this person had a parting because I really loved him. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me right there. And the Holy Spirit said, Byron, you loved him for what he did for you. You didn't really love him. Oh, you talk about being stripped at that moment. That stripped me. Because at that moment, I knew God had looked down into my heart and told me what was really going on in my heart. Because I wasn't necessarily aware of my feelings, but that was the real truth. And I said, Lord, you're right. And it was like God had looked into me. And when God looks into you, it has the ability to strip you. You know, what you think of yourself and what you think you're thinking, God has another thought sometimes. Well, that was really, that really kind of upset me. Honestly, I repented right away because it was true. I mean, it was the truth could be, but you know what I'm saying? So I repented. It kind of threw me off, though. You know what I'm saying? When God, it was kind of like, you know, being caught naked somewhere. You know, nobody wants to be exposed like that. And I felt a bit of exposure. That's the way it felt. I felt kind of naked. I didn't really like that feeling, just like we don't like it in the natural. Well, I got over there into China doing ministry, and the way that thing worked over there is you were trapped. Once you walked, they would get you up early in the morning and take you to where you were going to meet at before light, and once you got in there, you were not going out until it got dark. So you're stuck in there all day, and they would just wear you out. Nothing like Americans. You know, Americans got their 35 minutes, and that's what we're done with. They can, 35 minutes of them is, well, you're just warming up. You just gave an introduction. They'll sit there as long as you can stand. And we have this great story about when Betty and I was praying for people one time after 4 hours of praying for people. we were like, we got to, Betty was quitting. The other girl had already quit. I said, y'all, I'm not going to quit and leave me up here by myself praying for all these people. It just can't be. Let's take a break. And they literally had women massaging Becky's legs to get her back up there to pray for. That's how insane they are. They're so hungry. This is incredible. But so we was doing this ministry there, and it was great. And the Lord was really moving. And you know, it was, you know, kind of like that prophetic stream we were in. And so we were, this lady, you know, after we preached, we ministered to people, and then we were supposedly relaxing. And this lady came up to me and she said, would you give me a word from the Lord? And I said, yeah, I will give you a word from the Lord. I said, but I want you to give me a word first. And I said, if you'll give me a word, I'll give you. Because I could tell this woman was very, very prophetic. You could look at her and tell that she was connected into the spiritual realm pretty well. And she said, okay, I will do that. And so this is what she did. This is powerful. She looked at me, and when she did, all of a sudden, it was like these other eyes were looking at me. It wasn't her eyes. It was the Lord's eyes. And I felt those eyes look right down into my soul. I don't know how to tell you anything, but it was the most unnerving thing I have ever felt in my life. Because at that moment, she saw into my soul, and she said these one words to me, this one thing. She looked at me. Looking, I knew, and I was like, ugh, you know, she said, why the sorrow? That's what she said. Because what God was doing, he was looking into me, and there was this sorrow in my soul. And he was exposing that to me, and I couldn't, it was just the most unnerving, terrible, it was a terrible moment in my life in one way. It was terrible, because at that moment I felt completely naked. And completely exposed. And I didn't really even have an answer for why the sorrow. I had already been through a lot of sorrow, but I had felt like that God had healed me. But the truth is, he was letting me know that you're not healed and you're carrying a lot of sorrow deep down in your soul. And God began to really, really heal that sorrow that day, you know, and really begin to deliver me from the things that had really, really crushed me in my life and broke me. And really almost took me out. You know, I'd gone through so much, I felt like I was on the verge of it taking me out. You know, it destroyed every dream I had, literally. Every vision for my life felt destroyed, and it felt it was over with. And I was just kind of operating in a total faith mode where I was just, you know, there was no feelings, there was nothing. You know, it was just trusting that the word of the Lord that I knew he had given me for my life, is still true. But as far as any evidence, outwardly or inwardly, I didn't have any of that. That's a hard place to be. That's like walking in darkness. And there's a time for that, I believe, for all of us. But then God wants to bring us out of that place where He begins to reaffirm us and reaffirm His Word. So I believe that's one thing the Lord wants to do in this church for people that are in that place. So I had a thing, you know, I just wanted to, I hope that spoke to somebody.
Yeah.
If you didn't, I'm sorry. It spoke to me, so I'm happy about that. You know, I only have one story to tell. It's my story. I don't have anybody else's story, so that's, but I had a, last year, it's actually last year when the women went to the women's retreat, I had this amazing moment with the Lord. You could call it an amazing encounter or an experience, but it was very powerful to me. And I've had a lot of encounters with the Lord in my life, obviously. And I think we all, if you haven't, you should, you will, because God likes to encounter people. He's relational, but I'll just tell you the counter. The encounter is not the most important thing, though, I'll tell you that. It's what comes out of it. And some encounters, let me just say this about encounters, or some encounters, nothing is to come out of it, except it's just a relational thing. It's just, you know, God revealing Himself and wanting us to grow and knowing Him. That's all it is. There's no fireworks, so to speak. But then there's other things that it should change your life. You hear what I'm saying? Something should happen in your life that really affects you. And this really had a big impact on my life. But I wasn't conscious of it. Okay? I really wasn't conscious of what it was happening to me. But this is what it was. I pulled into our church parking lot and it was raining really hard. And I thought, well, it's going to stop in a few minutes and I don't want to get wet, so I'm just going to sit here. And as I sat there, I felt the Holy Spirit come into the car in such a powerful way, and I immediately felt, I began to repent. Okay? I'm a big believer in repentance. People who don't believe in repentance, my thought about them, well, they just never really had an encounter with the Lord, because when you get close to God, you're going to repent.
Yeah.
Okay? That's just natural response. Yeah. The best explanation I can have about what I was feeling at that moment was what Isaiah described happened to him in Isaiah 6, where he said, I saw the Lord, and His train filled the temple, and he heard the angels singing, holy, holy, holy. It's an amazing little story, little encounter that he had. And I felt this fire of God on my face. It was really weird. It just felt weird to me, and I was repenting of all kinds of things. Okay, lots of bad attitudes, lots of thoughts, lots of stuff that was in me, even some of my theology that I had developed in my difficult time. I was repenting of ever having such a theology, ever thought about God like that. And, you know, I was just getting cleansed, you know, inwardly. But I heard what Isaiah heard. And see, this is the thing that has been so impactful. I heard that thing, who will go for us? Because that was what he heard. He heard, after he had this grand experience with the Lord, he heard God's heart. He heard the Trinity. He heard the Father, Son, and Holy. He heard the Father speaking, saying, who will go for us? And Isaiah volunteered to go, which is not really, that can be a tricky thing. I'll go, send me, Lord. And if you read the rest of the story, the Lord said, I'm going to send you to people that will never listen to a word you say, all the way to their destruction. And he immediately was trying to, like, I want out. I made a mistake. You know, that's the way it is lots of time. But here's what happened to me out of that. God began to speak to me about the Great Commission and how powerful the Great Commission is. You know, we have embraced this love of the Father like nobody's business. We revel in that.
Yeah.
Knowing the Father, knowing His love is everything to me. It's changed my life. I would say that is, apart from salvation, the greatest revelation I have ever received from God is knowing Him as a Father, which has released me into my true identity and just has helped me to love myself. helped me to love other people. It changed my life when all that began. It just freed me from that orphan thinking and all that crazy stuff that everybody is sucked into, insecurity, shame. I lived a life of shame. I mean, for years. And the church is full of people who are living in shame, hidden in it. You know, feeling insecure, not feeling like you measure up, feeling like you've got to make God happy, feel like if something's wrong with me, I'm not like everybody else, and if I'll do this, do that, you know, I'll be okay. I got free from all that craziness. I mean, God just freed me and began to teach me and is teaching me how to live as a son. And the more you live as a son, the more you can come into your rightful inheritance as a son. Yeah. And see, there's so much more to this thing that I'm seeing now in front of me. That's incredible. It's not just about identity. It's about everything that God wants us to have. It's about His restoration of our life and the restoration. And that's how God restores the earth. He restores the earth by restoring us to family, to His family, and creating a family that's healthy and whole that can affect the earth. Yeah. But that was so amazing to me. But God began to speak to me about this. Who will go for us? That's the Great Commission in the Old Testament. And how we have the great commandment about the Father's love and the love of God, but we also have this other thing, this other great in the Bible called the Great Commission. And when we begin to step into that Great Commission, it has its own impact on our life. It can begin to do things for us that we're not going to receive any other way. And that's how God designed it. And one of the scriptures that really spoke to me so powerfully is in Matthew 25, where it's at the final judgment. This is amazing to me. The final judgment, that's what it's called. The final judgment, it says, when the Lord returns in all His glory. That's what it says. In all His glory, and all the angels with Him, He calls the nations, all the people before Him. That's what's going to happen. We're all going to be called before Him. And He begins to discern, to call some of them, your sheep over here. You're not sheep over here. That's what He does. And the people that He called His sheep, they were saying, why are we this? He said, because that He begins to give this list of things. This is Jesus talking, y'all. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was a stranger and you brought me in. Are you hearing what? This is God talking to humanity. Yeah. And they said, well, when do we ever do that? This is a righteous. He said, if you did it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Yeah. Now, what He wasn't saying, guys, He wasn't saying, you go and do these things and then you get in with me. No, He was saying, if you're in with me, you do these things. Yeah. Ultimately, that's where your Christianity has to go. Are y'all getting this? It's not a matter of we've got to do this. It's a matter of the Son. It's in God's heart. And if we're carrying His heart, it's going to begin to get in us.
Yeah.
And begin to work in us.
Yeah.
Are y'all following
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
I mean, when we begin to allow that thing to work in us, and so God began to talk to me about this. And it was bothersome to me in some ways. Because, here's the thing. This is hugely messy. This is the ultimate mess of life. This is what you call Christianity, not Sunday morning clean Christianity when everything's clean, your fingernails are clean, everything is good, you know, let's have everything. No, this is dirty Christian. This is your fingernails get dirty. You get contamination on you. You get the world on you, not in the sense of it's on you, but it's on you because it's like going outside and working in your garden. You get dirty and you get sweaty. And so I found out, you know, trying to minister to people that are absolutely destroyed people. I mean, let me say this. There's this thing in Luke 4 where it's Jesus' mission statement. Okay, it really is Luke 4, 18 and 9. That's what He came to the earth and declared. This is what my mission is. And here's what they are. Preach the gospel to the poor. Proclaim release to the captives. Recovery of the sight to the blind. Set free the oppressed and proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.
Yeah.
That word oppressed there, I was looking at that word. It means people who are broken to bits.
People who are broken to bits. Think about that a minute. Have you ever tried to reach into somebody's heart where they were just absolutely destroyed by life? It is one of the most difficult, discouraging things you'll ever do in one sense, because it is totally impossible. And it is something that is way beyond your ability, way beyond your anointing, way beyond your calling even. It's the ultimate impossible thing. And it will just, when I first began to do this, I got so frustrated. I got so discouraged about it that I said, I just am not going to do this, God. This is too hard. This is too messy. This is too difficult. And I hate the failure that I feel like I'm going through to try to help people that I can't help because they're shattered. They're absolutely shattered. And there are things in their life that I can't fix. There are things in their life I can't even address. There's things in their life I can't even relate to. And I grew up a poor person. I know poor real well because I was real poor growing up. So I understand poor, but there's things I don't understand that I couldn't connect with these people. But the Lord, you know, is good. When he puts something in you, you could quit all day, you know. But the next day you might wake up and feel this and go, I'll give it another shot. I'll give it another run at it. Because it's not about me or you being successful in what we do. And see, that's something we have to come to grips with. Sometimes we're not going to feel successful or look successful. Yeah. You know, but to Jesus, if we've reached out to try to give a person a glass of water that was thirsty, even if they weren't able to receive it, we've done. We've ministered to him. And I think we can come to this beautiful point with Jesus about that stuff. So I believe the Lord's looking for people. So I'm just telling you this. I believe the Lord's looking for people who are willing to say to him, I'm willing to step into this great commission thing. I'm willing to make your mission my mission. And I believe he will give us success based on his definition of success, whatever that might be. I haven't figured that one out yet. But so I just want to encourage you about that. That's a word from the Lord. I believe for the church, for the body of Christ. I believe that's where we're at in the church more than anything else. That's the thing that burns in my heart more than anything else. It's not having a grand experience with the Lord, which I love, but it's living out this great commission, being people who are walking it out and doing it and really being intentional about it. And so that's one thing. And the other thing I felt I wanted to share with you was about this proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Of course, most of you probably know that has to do with the year of Jubilee in the Bible, you know, where everybody got restored, they got their property restored back to them, they got freed. I mean, it's just an amazing time. I wanted to read this thing that really spoke to me, because I felt, over a year ago, the Lord started talking to me about restoration and that he wants to restore us to everything that he ever meant for us to have. And this is something Rick Joyner wrote down. I never saw this before. It's just, and it's absolutely 100% truth. This is what he said. The entire Bible, with the exception of just 6 chapters, is about restoration. The entire Bible. The restoring of the earth and mankind from all consequences of the fall. The only chapters in the Bible that are not about this are the first 3 and the last 3. Isn't that amazing? The first 3 chapters and the last 3 are not about restoration. Everything in between is about restoration. So God is into this thing called restoration. Yeah. He really is, and he really wants to restore us back to what he originally had in his heart. Beyond eternity's past, beyond when we were ever created, he wants to restore us. God knew the family you were going to be born into. He knew the circumstances and the situation, all of it. He knew it all. He designed it all. But he designed it for you and I to come out of that as victors and to overcome. And God has an inheritance for everybody in this room. Yeah. He has a true, and it, some of for it, it can be natural, but it's for sure spiritual. Everybody has a spiritual inheritance. Some of us may have some natural inheritance that God is going to give us, that he demands that we have.
But the Bible says this in Ephesians 1:18, and where it talks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and part of that is knowing the glorious inheritance that Christ has in the saints. The glorious inheritance, not that we have, but that Christ has. And what I've learned about that, because I have spent a long time thinking about those verses, that when we begin to understand the inheritance that Jesus Christ has in us, we are going to begin to see our own inheritance. That's the really, to me, that's the doorway into really coming into your inheritance, is seeing His inheritance. Yeah. Are y'all following that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the vital thing. That's even actually part of that prayer of actually knowing Christ. Is knowing His inheritance will enable us. Y'all look at me like kind of blank on that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to see that, that's a key for you right there. Yeah. And that's what I just told you is a real key.
Yeah.
For you to have what God has for you in your life. The inheritance. All the spiritual things. All the glorious things. All the things that God means for you to have. That's the key. That's how you begin to go in. We don't go in looking at ourselves for what I can get out of this thing. But we go in looking at what He can get out of it. What He wants.
Right.
And when we begin to start seeing that and start having some passion about that, I think it shifts us. Because from my experience with knowing God as a Father, the more I have known Him as a Father, the more I have known myself. You see, that's how this deal works. The more we tap into Him and what He wants, the more we can tap into what He has for us.
Right.
That instead of, you know, we're all the time trying to back into this thing. My calling, what the Bible talks about, the hope of His calling. Not my calling, it's the hope of His calling. When we begin to know the hope of His calling, we can begin to know our calling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the way this thing works. We talk about the power of God. It talks about the exceeding greatness of His power towards those who believe. When we begin to see the exceeding greatness of His power towards the believing people, we can start tapping into the power of God for ourselves.
Yeah.
Are y'all following this?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord for that. That's really good. Here, I got 10 more minutes. Y'all quit at 12, right, Matthew?
Oh, yeah.
Matthew's put a lockdown on me. He said I had to preach 30 minutes. He's claiming he's preaching 30 minutes. I want to know, is he telling the truth? No, he preached 50 minutes the other day. I have a good friend of mine who's an amazing preacher. His name's Larry Randolph. He started pastoring our church a couple years ago, and he told them right up front, there's one thing I'm not, is a short preacher. And he's not. But I wanted to tell you something about the river of God. Y'all know about the river of God, right? The Holy Ghost River. That's such a beautiful thing. It's been so impactful in my life. That river of God that we experienced in our church several years ago just accelerated everything. And it made everything that God had done but was doing in my life, it accelerated and brought it faster and quicker. And it gave such more authority and gave so much more anointing to everything. I mean, because the river's amazing, but when I was in Argentina, we were in Argentina a few weeks ago, Becky and I, with Jim and Kathy Hill. I think Jim's preached here a few times, right? And so we were going to all these different churches down there preaching. It was a pretty wild time for us, but there's something I touched when I was down there. I touched the edge of a river that I've never experienced before. I only touched the edge of it. You know, Argentina is known to be a nation of revival, right? I mean, they had revival years before, you know. In fact, a lot of revival that came in the United States came via Argentina. John Arnott, that's where he got his anointing down there in Argentina. Benny Hinn, that's where he got his anointing. And I don't care what y'all think about those people. I'm just telling you. They had some miracles and great things happen through their ministry. But so Argentina's not in a revival now. I can promise you that. I can tell you they're not in a revival right now. But I felt there's a new move of God coming down there. And I felt I touched just the edge of that river. And I'm telling you, it was the first time, you know, the river of God's always flowing. Whether we are conscious of it or not, there's a river in this place right now. We might not be conscious of it. And I caught, you know, it's been a long time when I was really conscious of that river, honestly. But I felt the edge of that river down there. I felt it coming. That there's something coming in Argentina that's really powerful. But it's not like the river of God that we've known in the past. It's something beyond renewal, right, and refreshing. Because that was a lot of what happened, right? A lot of you were renewed and refreshed. That was amazing. But this was different. They just had a completely different feel to it. Okay? I'm going to read these two scriptures to you. Ezekiel 47. Y'all know this is the river of God. I want to read this to you. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple. That's important. And passing to the right side of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. So this is Ezekiel, and he's having this powerful vision of this river. I mean, and it was so powerful that he actually got into that river, walked in that river, swam in that river, saw what that river was doing, and saw how that river operated. Well, if you think about it, what he said here, and I don't really have time to really go into this, there's so much in that 12 verses there, that's incredible. It's so much revelation there. But let me read Revelation 22, verse 1. This is it. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Okay, Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is the door. See, that's what Ezekiel was seeing, a type of Christ, okay, where he saw this river. So the river, and he saw this, it flowing, this river actually comes out of Jesus. It comes out of his body, his physical body. And so that's why this river is so amazing and so important. And that's why God, when Ezekiel was having this encounter with him, God was emphasizing things. He kept saying, do you see this? Do you see this? Because he wanted, even in this vision, he wanted Ezekiel to get that what you're experiencing now is everything. It's this the vital thing. And you've got to see this. He actually goes on later saying that this is going to produce healing. This is going to produce healing for nations. This river is. It's going to cause these trees to come up. That's going to have these leaves on. These leaves are going to have these medical ability on these leaves that for nations, whole nations can be healed. Based on what this river, they've tapped into this river. And there's food every season. There's fruit every season for people.
Yeah.
Because of this river. And so that's why this was such a powerful thing. Well, I can remember I had this vision one time on Sunday. This is before we had this powerful Holy Spirit river experience. I had this vision. Here's what the vision was. I saw Jesus on the cross. And he was dead. And he looked like a pit bull had chewed him up. It was not a beautiful sight. It was an ugly sight. It was a terrible sight. Which, that's what the Bible really indicates. That he looked awful. And I saw, in the vision, I saw a Roman soldier come up to him and take a spear and stick it in his side. And I saw water and blood flow out of his side, just like John chapter 19 says. Are y'all following this?
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me at that moment. He said, the headwaters of the river of life were released in the earth that day. Mm-hmm. The headwaters. Mm-hmm. And you can see that right there in Revelation 22. This river is from the throne and it's of Christ. In other words, it's coming from him. And, well, that was an amazing thing, a vision. I didn't have I didn't have no theology about it. I didn't have no prophetic insight to what this really means. Like this, you know, there was no grandeur thinking in my mind at the time. I was just really blessed that God would let me see that. And I was seeing that there's this value in the river of God. There's this value in the Spirit of God. Because that's what the river is. It is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
It made this value of the Holy Spirit become much greater in my eyes. And then about a year later, probably, or maybe less than a year later, we literally had this river come into our church in a grand fashion, I would say. Pretty powerful, right, Matthew? It changed our life. It really was. And so I feel like when I was in Argentina, I feel there's a river coming in towards us. I don't know when it's going to come. I don't know when that river is going to manifest in Argentina more fully, you know, because God didn't tell me, so I wasn't assuming anything. But I do believe that the Lord is going to bring a new river to America, to the body of Christ in America. I think it's going to come, but I think it's going to be a little different. I do think that. I think if you look at this, this is crazy. If you go through this 12 verses here, you know, he talks about, you know, the river was ankle deep. In other words, that has something to do with your walk. You know, I just want to say this, okay? I love when the Holy Spirit moves. I love all that. I love manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, we were in one church over there. I was saying on river life's loudest and wildest days, they would have drowned us out. And it was the entire church service. It was just the craziest church I've ever been in my life. It was awesome, though. It was just amazingly beautiful and awesome. I was able to tap right in with them and go with them. Some of my friends couldn't deal with it because it was so loud. But, you know, I might have hearing loss or something. But if you really look at this River God chapter, it's not about manifestations. You know, his first is about our walk with God, about being guided by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. That's what the ankle thing means. It means that's what this river is meant to do, is to teach us to follow Him.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And then the next thing that comes up to your knees, when you think about knees, what do you think about? You think about prayer, right? Think about worship, right? Here's one thing a lot of people don't want to think about. You don't want to think about brokenness, do you? Mm. Nobody wants to think about brokenness. Nobody wants to think about surrender. But I'll tell you something. The Holy Spirit River will bring you into the place of brokenness. That's why a lot of people get disjointed with the move of God. It's because eventually it's going to take you into something that's going to be sorrowful to you and break your heart and crush your heart. Okay, I'm sorry to say this. I wish it wasn't true, but it's been the experience of everybody. It's the experience of all the great people in the Bible. They go through this time of breaking and crushing. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. That's what it says. That's not a popular gospel, but it's the true gospel. And God wants to bring, the Holy Spirit will bring us through these places where we come to a place of surrender. We come to a place of brokenness. And God really is interested in people coming to a place of worship. Of worshiping Him regardless of how we feel and regardless of what's going on in our life. That's the great worship. Yeah. Is when you can worship Him when you don't feel like worshiping Him. Yeah. And worship is more than just coming to church and raising your hand. That's beautiful. But it's a life of worship. Am I talking to anybody? Yeah. Or am I just going on? Yeah. I got one more minute. Thank you, Lord. Well, then, you know, then it goes to waste. You know, it's hard to walk in knee-deep water, right, in the natural.
Yeah.
It's a hard place. It gets even harder when it gets to your waist, and that's kind of, you know, where your reproductive organs are, which, you know, that's the time in your life where God's looking to really bring fruit in your life. That's what it's really talking about. It's the Spirit of the Lord creating, you know, helping you to bear fruit, you know, spiritual fruit, good fruit in your life. And then the last one is when the river completely takes over. That's where you can't walk in it. You're going to have to swim if you're going to navigate. You're going to have to learn how to swim in this river. And that's where the power of God comes. And that is where I think the Lord wants to bring the church. I don't think the church has had that level. It's my thought. I think we're going to get into a place where this river is going to come and God's power is going to be more than what we've ever experienced. And this is just going to be amazing. It's going to be beautiful. But the key in this river was it had to go out. The further out it went, the deeper it got.
Yeah.
That's what it says. And if you read this, where it didn't go out, it became salty marshes. And not much can live in a salty marsh, right? And so the key for us is to go, for the river of God to go out. It's just this, what I'm telling you. It's this great commission thing. I think that's where the power of the church is going to really shine forth.
Yeah.
It's not what we're going to do in here. And I think what we do in here is vital and important. I'm big on the church, okay, and people being in church and joining with the church. I'm not big on this, we're going to, you know, the way things are now with Christians that don't value the church. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I think we need to place high value on the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But I think our real power is not going to be necessarily here. I think it's going to be out there.
That's right.
I think that's the thing I feel more than anything else in my life right now, is that he really wants to get us into a situation where he can release this river, but it's not just for us to enjoy, which is amazing. We want to enjoy it, and we're always going to enjoy it, but he wants to push that river out into the world. You know, the Amazon River, you can go out into the ocean 50 miles, 50 miles, and get fresh water in the ocean, in the salty ocean, that because that power of the Amazon River pushing out there into the salty ocean. That's power. And that's what God wants to release. That's where I believe we're going to see the greatest power of God ever. Is we're going to be like that Amazon. We're going to push out into the salty world, and we're going to bring freshness out there.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring that thing. And yes, it's going to be messy, and it's going to be difficult. I'm just going to warn you right up front. If you sign up for something like this, you're signing up for messiness. You're signing up to be discouraged.
Right.
You're signing up for sometimes people are going to take advantage of you out of your good heart to clothe them and feed them. You know, some of them are not going to receive the Lord. Some of them will even turn against you when you quit doing it, when you realize they're, you know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of problems doing this. But I'll tell you something, there's some will. And the more we do it, the more we learn how to live the life that Christ lived and let him live his life through us and get to thinking outside of me, of just me, what God's doing in my life and my enjoyment of what God does, which I love all that. I enjoy all that. I enjoy dreams and visions. I love all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But God has a mission that he wants to accomplish in the earth. Mm-hmm. He desires and he's looking for people that he has poured into and given his spirit to, that are willing to allow that thing to be released in them.
Yeah.
Are y'all following this?
Yeah.
Well, I hope you are. You know, I really do. I hope you are. So I think there's people in this room that God's been working in your life, preparing you like he did that daughter. Your moment is going to come where you're going to be in a situation and you're going to know God's going to speak to you. And he's saying, I prepared you for this moment. You're going to have confidence. You're going to be able to do it. You're going to be able to do whatever it is that needs to be done in that moment. You're going to know. So I just think that's one thing that I really feel, and I'm really excited to see what that is for you. You know, it's a little bit different for all of us individually. I'm excited to see what it is for your church here.
Yeah.
Is that. And I just really want to, I want to pray that. I want to pray that you. We need leaders, okay? Mm-hmm. That are going to shift out of what God did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We need leaders that are not living in what God did. That's what we need. Because I don't need somebody to lead me back to something. I need somebody to lead me to what God's doing.
Amen.
You know? And so that's the kind of leadership that I'm saying, Lord, raise those people. I don't give a rip if they're kids. You know? Listen, if they can lead us into what you're doing, Lord, that's who I want. That's the people I want to follow.
Yeah.
I don't want to follow. I love the testimonies of what God did.
Yeah.
But it's to propel us. So we really need to ask the Lord to give us that. And I will admit to you that I'm guilty as anybody of trying to hold on to something that's gone. You know? Because it was so sweet, it's so beautiful, it's so amazing. Right? And what's in front of us, we don't really understand. You know? We don't really. So it's easy for us to go to something we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
But God wants to push us out of that.
Yeah.
He wants to push y'all out of that. And I'm not saying that's not a commentary on you guys if you're trying to do something from the past. I'm just, it's a commentary on me, on my life.
Yeah.
You know, I live my life trying to get away from my past, trying to go into what God has for me and bring what he's done with me in the past, what he's gave me, take it with me, you know? But don't try to live back there and don't try to reproduce what was great back there. Let's go forward in God and move into what God's doing now.
Yeah.
And if we don't understand it, let's just do the things that the Bible tells us, like the Great Commission. I think when we begin to step into that, all of a sudden things will begin to flow in your life. Okay, because we're not waiting on God to do something. Perhaps He's saying, I've already told you what to do in the meantime. You know, be these gospel ministers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Take what you have and give it away.
Yeah.
Go pour it out somewhere. Find some wretched person who's really wretched and help them.
Yeah.
Or at least try to.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
There you go. Well, praise the Lord. Let me pray for you right quick.
Amen.
You good, Matthew?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you were sharing, this is, I feel like there's two things from what he's sharing that I really feel like the Lord wants us to grab hold of. And one of them is when he was talking about the Lord seeing in his heart.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, and really that open place with the Lord. I feel like the Lord is calling us into the commission.
Mm.
And I feel like what he wants us to do is to allow ourselves to be bare before him and allow him to heal the places from the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heal and remove shame. Yeah. Remove anything that would be hindrances in our being able to step forth and be able to see other people set free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be able to call people out of their stuff into what the Lord has for them. And so I felt like that first thing was really key that Byron was sharing. So if you really were, when he was sharing about that time when that lady saw straight in and down in the soul. Sometimes I think we know there's something off inside, but we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. Lord, it's going to take you to expose and show me so that I can repent, I can change, and I can turn towards you, and you can give me those things, those keys. And so I think that's something the Lord wants to do, is he wants to do that. He wants to show us those things and lead us into healing from the past.
Amen.
That we could be able to say yes
and
step into that place. So can you pray for us that way?
That's exactly right. Thank you for saving my sermon.
That was good. Can we
I want to pray for you about it. I'm an expert on feeling shame. Okay, I'm an expert on feeling not measuring up. I live most of my life like that. I hate to say it. It was a waste. I live most of my life not feeling like I was good enough. I live most of my life feeling like if people knew the real me, they would hate me. Because I hated myself. Okay? I always used to say to God, love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, that won't work in my life because I will destroy people because I want to destroy myself. Okay? But when I begin to know the love of God, when I begin to know his healing heart, and even that thing, even though I felt so naked that day, that sorrow thing, that was a hindrance in my life. And I couldn't fix it. Only God could fix that. But he was generous to me.
Yeah.
He's been real generous in my life. And he's came and met me over and over and over, not because of what I did, but because I just gave him the chance to and took the risk that God's a father. He cares about me.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want me living in the shadows. He doesn't want me thinking about myself in a way that's not the way he sees me. He wants me to have a wholesome self-image. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants me to love myself in a godly, righteous way. And see, that'll change your life. And that will help you to look at other people and be able to really, truly love them and care for them.
Yeah.
And it takes away all that bad motivation and stuff. God did all that for me.
He
did it doing it every day of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing that I do think we need to have working in us. I heard somebody one time, I can't remember who it was, but it was some famous preacher that I thought was pretty amazing. They said, if we don't know this love of the Father, God is going to save people because the gospel message is the truth. But it's really a secondhand message coming from us. Because we haven't really seen the reality of ourselves. But when we begin to see the reality of ourselves, that's where the power of God can attach to that thing and get released. And you can do stuff you normally couldn't do. So I want to pray that the Lord will do exactly that. Just stand up and we'll just ask the Holy Spirit to do the beautiful thing. You know, I've got this theology in life. I do what I can do, and only God can do what he does. I can't be responsible for what he does, but I can give him a chance. And your words can release that today if you would just say, Holy Spirit, come. And So, Father, I just thank you today for this people in this room. Everybody in here is supposed to be here. You brought them here for a purpose, Lord. And I believe, Lord, you want us. You want to do something, Lord, today in people. So I just pray, Lord, thank you that you've been preparing people like you prepared that surgeon, Lord. Like you prepared me to go to Cuba. You've been preparing them. They don't even know it. And you're fixing to do something, Lord. You're gonna break some change off of people. There really is power in the name of Jesus. There's really a glory of heaven that's really going to come to earth. And you said your glory is going to fill the earth. In fact, the Bible says that it's already filling the earth, but we're just not seeing it. And you're going to begin to open our eyes to see the glory of God that's in the earth today. And you're going to really take the blinders off our heart today and free us, Lord, of the lies that the devil has perpetuated on us from the moment we came into this earth. You're going to break that orphan spirit off of people, Lord. You're going to set the captives free even in this room today, Lord. You're going to begin with your children. You're going to free them, Lord. And you're going to bring them into something beautiful, Lord. You're going to finish what you started, Lord. And Lord, there's some people in this room that have been shattered to pieces. I'm sure of that, Lord. Well, you can put them back together today, Lord. So we're just asking you, Father, just release an unction in this room right now. Holy Spirit, just release an unction on people. Lord, I just pray for against unbelief. I pray against skepticism. Some people probably have heard stuff like this for years and nothing has happened. And it makes us feel skeptical, Lord. I ask you to have mercy on us, God. And help us get that skeptical spirit away from us. Lord, we renounce it today. We renounce unbelief, Lord. Lord, we declare that the word of the Lord is true. We declare that your word will come true. God, you don't lie. You're not like a man. You do not lie. You are going to release your word, and it's going to fulfill its intended purpose, Lord. I pray that these people in this room will become lovers of the word of God. That they'll become passionate about the scriptures. There'll be a hunger released in the scriptures. Lord, I just ask you to do that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
This is what Rosemarie was getting, was that, you know, the prodigal, sort of the prodigal son, that after he comes home, the Lord says, no, bring out the ring and the robe and put it on it. And I think that speaks of the sonship, but the authority of the inheritance that the Father is giving to you after breaking off all that prodigal stuff. This is what Byron's talking about. All the prodigal stuff is being broken off right now. All the pain, all the shame, it's all gone. You come running into Papa's arms. And he said, no, I don't want you to be a slave. You're a son in my house. Bring the robe. Bring the authority. Bring the new river of power upon my sons and my daughters. This is really what the Lord has for us today. It's a new, it's an order, it's unto something. And that unto something is a new river of his power and authority that he wants to release across our lives, through our lives, and into the streets, onto the campuses, into the workplaces, into your school and your home, onto your children and your grandchildren. There will be a new river of power. I'm excited about that today, Lord. A new river of power, let it flow right now. God, we just thank you for the Daniel River of fire of Daniel 7. Let it continue to flow in a new river of power, God. A new realm of authority going forth from this place. We just receive that right now, Papa. Abba Daddy, we just thank you for it. We receive that new robe, that new mantle right now. Amen.
You know, there's this scripture in Psalm that says, the Lord delivers those who he delights in.
Yeah.
That was something Elizabeth spoke about at the last women's gathering. And I believe that's that ring in the robe.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants us to know, he wants to deliver us from all these things. That we might be a company of people that know and take delight in the Lord.
Yeah.
That delight ourselves and allow him to delight in us. And that we would be able to then go forth from that place of delight in the Lord. So, Lord, just thank you for each person this morning. Bless them. Keep them. Let your face shine upon them. Just let them go out with joy and be led forth with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you need prayer this morning individually, please come up. We'd love to pray for you. Otherwise, be blessed. Have a wonderful week.